Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. No Astros tonight. They need a night off after the last 3 days. Losing to the Guardians, getting swept by the Guardians. Still 6.5 up in the AL West. I would say, Seth, take 2 out of 3 from the Rangers this weekend, and all is forgiven from Monday through Wednesday. That's going
to
happen.
That's all you have to do.
That's all you got
to
do.
Yeah. Hey, can we get back to that stage we're in where all of these guys were performing incredibly well above and beyond their historical stats?
Over their heads, yes.
Is that, yes.
Yeah, is that
yes.
Too much
can we
ask?
Get back to the spot where I was? I had been deluded into the point of saying, I don't know, there's just something magical about these guys.
Right. Maybe there is something with this Cooper Hummel. Yeah. It is going to be Lance McCullers tomorrow night. He was good his last time out against the Dodgers. Yeah. Framber Valdez on Saturday and Hunter Brown on Sunday. So if you were hoping to see Hunter Brown start or even pitch in the All-Star game, that is not going to happen. He will not be pitching in the All-Star game come Tuesday. Oh, we should mention, though, Isak Paredes. He made the All-Star team. Yeah, he's replacing Jose Ramirez. So we've got 4 guys named to the All-Star team now. So good job. Congrats, Isak Paredes. Way to go. Speaking of the Dodgers series over the weekend, we know that as the Astros, remember the good old days where they used to score 18 runs in a game Friday?
Mm-hmm.
And Oral Hershiser, the Astros color analyst for that game on their team broadcast, had this to say as the Astros were peppering the Dodgers with all kinds of extra base hits.
Hit hard to deep center field. Páez on the run. He'll turn and watch this one wedge itself in the bottom of the wall. And Cam Smith flying into second, anchoring there with another extra base hit for the Astros. Double homer double to open third against Kasperius.
I don't want to open an old wound, but in some ways, they're swinging at these breaking balls like they know what it's coming.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I don't want to open up old wounds, but here's an 18-inch dagger in your belly.
That's right. So that got a lot of run over the weekend. Fortunately, there is at least one voice of reason in the Dodgers organization. His name is Max Muncy. And you put this up on your social yesterday.
Yeah, he was on Foul Territory on YouTube, and a full interview with him. He's a smart dude. Yeah. But they asked him, hey, so what's up with Oral Hershiser saying this stuff? What was going on there, and why were you guys getting why were they able to shell you guys so mercilessly?
Do I think they know what was coming? Yes, I do. Do I think they were cheating to get there? No, I think they had a tip on the pitcher, and that's on us to clean that up. That's not cheating. That's part of the game. Good teams are going to do that. So, yes, I do think they knew what were coming, but it wasn't because they were cheating. It was because, you know, our pitcher had a tip, and we've addressed it. We've cleaned it up, hopefully. And, you know, that's one of those things where you just have to always be careful about what you're doing out there. You don't want to give anything away to the other team. And, you know, that's something that we take advantage of a lot of times. And, you know, you have to find a way to clean that up. And that's not cheating. That's part of the game. That's being a smart baseball player is what that is. So do I think they knew what was coming? Yeah, but they weren't cheating.
Okay, so kudos to Max Muncy. What the hell was with that music underneath it?
That was I added the music. I added that little spy thriller music.
Yeah, okay. As I'm listening, I'm totally distracted by the music, and I'm listening to it. I'm like, this sounds like the music you would play under a scene in a movie where there's multiple people in different parts of a house that are trying to avoid each other, and they're tiptoeing around the house.
Yeah, yeah, like it's conspiracy and dodginess and whatnot. Yes, yes. I know that's what AI recommended I used for that.
Really?
Yeah.
it popped.
You know, the one thing about that that's interesting is that I can't remember. I don't think they were talking about specifically any pitcher, but Kasperius and Davis both got shelled in that game.
Yeah.
Kasperius gave up 6 earned runs, and Davis gave up 10 earned runs, the 2 pitchers for the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if both of them were tipping pitches or if he was talking about Davis who let up the 10 runs or whatever it might have been. But it may have been both of them.
Yeah.
And it honestly gave me maybe – I thought this last night versus – when Walter was really struggling in the first 2 home runs that he gave up, but then he dialed in and didn't. He retired 17 straight batters after that. I mean, sometimes there's an element of, man, team really does their homework beforehand, and yeah, they discover a couple tells that the team themselves hasn't figured out yet, and maybe it was both those pitchers that they felt they had a good tip on.
Yeah.
But it was really cool to hear Muncy basically just say, yeah, in at least one of these guys, we totally identified what the tip was.
Yep.
And that is the garden variety, old school, nothing illegal about it, that you just, guys get tips. Hunter Brown discussed whether or not there might be something going on where he was tipping his pitches in his last outing, and you hope that you figure it out and move forward.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to hear, like, to see the Astros be the team doing it and see them doing it to the team with the best record in baseball. I like that.
The fun part was all the idiot Dodgers fans in the replies that didn't realize that Muncy was talking about a game from 4 days ago. That we're like, well, no, they found evidence and there was trash cans.
Oh, no stupid way.
Idiots,
oh,
you're not
God.
Even following your current team. Pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a pretty good team you're talking
they
about.
They just looked.
In the caption, it said in the 18-1 loss to the Astros.
And they thought he was talking about the 2017 World Series, these Dodger fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
Dodger fans. Dodger fans, man. The entitled sociopaths, the Dodger fans. That's who they are. So that was good. If Max Muncy ever wanted to become an Astro, he just basically gave the secret handshake. Don't lean on the trash can banging, you know?
Yeah. Well, plus, I don't even remember if Muncy's first year was in with the Dodgers, was in 2018.
Yeah, I don't think.
But I don't know, in 2017 he was injured, so I don't know where he was, which because he was at Oakland before that.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
It wasn't like he was an integral part of that 2017.
No. He was not a key core member of that team by any means. So that was good. That was good just to see that somebody on the Dodgers is a voice of reason in this whole thing. 713-572-4610.
Yeah, I don't think anybody from the Dodgers organization themselves, other than Oral
Hershiser
was hung up on this whatsoever. We didn't get a hint of anything about that from really any actual baseball people.
Yeah.
There was nothing. It was Oral Hershiser fueling the flames because that old nerd can't let it go.
Yeah, it was probably, right. It was probably one of those things like where people within the Dodgers organization were like, oh, and they're going to think he speaks for all of us. Because he's on the broadcast. Like,
but I got to talk about him respectfully because he is, after all, he's Oral freaking Hershiser.
Yeah, he's a World Series hero and things like that. So, yeah, that's what I thought it sounded like, Texter. It sounds like it was the theme like from a game of Clue or the movie Clue underneath it.
Yeah.
It's like a caper. There's a caper going on somewhere.
I've noticed, as you know, I'm experimenting on TikTok a little bit, trying to post more on TikTok. And the music does make a big difference. It's really, if you just do something with no music at all, it just doesn't, or at least I've kept a little spreadsheet, it just doesn't perform as well.
Is that right?
So even if the music doesn't have anything to do with it or anything, it's not a highlight video or whatever, it's just, it just grabs you.
Yeah.
Well, imagine that. So what I've discovered is that it seems like people enjoy music.
Yeah, it's a sensory thing.
But it does have a more, it has a more dramatic effect than I thought it would.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's when you play it, when you go side by side, do one with, one without, there's definitely a difference.
Yeah.
Shifting gears real quick, I feel good about the Rockets offseason. I felt great about practically every move they've made. Maybe every move they've made. I don't think they've made a move this offseason that I haven't approved of. Like, Rafael Stone has hit it out of the park, up to and including Jabari Smith's 5-year, $125 million contract that he was given, I think, while I was out last week. That contract extension, you would remember, Seth, because you were on the air. I think it was while I was out last week.
I think it was, whatever.
Yeah, so I haven't talked about it yet on the air, but the next two, Jabari Smith was the third overall pick in his draft. The two picks ahead of him were Chet Holmgren and Paolo Banchero. Paolo Banchero went one, Chet Holmgren went two, Jabari Smith went three. And Paolo Banchero got a max deal a few days ago. I think 5 years can be up to $287 million, so nearly $60 million a year. Chet Holmgren got a max deal yesterday, 5 years, $250 million. Jabari Smith Jr. is not as good as either of those guys. I will concede that. And Paolo Banchero is an all-star. I got that. Chet Holmgren was a key member of a championship team, very good. Jabari Smith got half the money both those guys got. He got 5 years, $125 million. And I tweeted the other day, I'm like, I feel good. I'd rather have Jabari Smith for 5 years and 125 than Paolo Banchero at $60 million a year. And everybody, like almost like universally people that were replying to that, were going, no, dude, Paolo Banchero is an all-star. He's so much better than Jabari Smith. And I'm going, I know that. I said for $25 million a year for this team and the role that he plays, I'd rather have Jabari Smith Jr. than be pot committed to Paolo Banchero being the man on my team.
Right.
And I got a lot of heat for that, and I get it. He averaged 26 a game this year. I will double and triple down on that, though, versus Chet frickin' Holmgren getting 250. Chet Holmgren getting twice as much as Jabari. Give me Jabari Smith all day in this world of the second apron that we live in, where once you commit to guys, this is your guy. These are your guys. Chet Holmgren at $50 million a year if I were a Thunder fan. I mean, they won the title, so they're just keeping the band together. But, man, that is a great contract by Rafael Stone, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's one of those things where – and the hazardous part of you tweeting that out is that on social media, you've got the whole spectrum of – there's one group of the hyper-analytical people in one corner that are going to be like, well, yeah, especially when you consider the 17th apron. And then on the other side, you've got the people that are like, why are they not signing this guy? Yeah. Why are they not – people that want to operate like there's absolutely no consideration whatsoever to the contract. Yeah. In football, it's, why are they not trading for Jalen Ramsey? Like, well, because it costs $20 million a year.
Yeah,
and you've already got a couple of good cornerbacks on your team.
Yeah.
So, you just got caught in the middle of the crossfire. There.
Well, I think the hardest thing to convey on social media is that you got 200. Well, you have more. Anyways, the character thing isn't the thing. On social media, where you're trying to stay brief, is that I'm not saying Jabari Smith is. I'm not saying he's better than either of those guys, but especially Banchero. I'm saying he's a better value than both of those guys.
Better value, right? And that's where when you bring in Kevin Durant and you trade not all that much to get him, but you still have his contract to consider and everybody else. Yeah, it's these. It's not like Jabari Smith's deal is a marginal deal, but it's not a marquee deal. Those are the ones that you really got to get right.
Yeah.
And you can't be overspending for, the stuff that was going on during the year that the cap inflated or that the luxury, that inflated so much.
When 2016.
Teams were just spending stupid money on mediocre
players.
Yeah, and that comes back to bite you.
Including the Rockets. No. They gave Ryan Anderson $80 million.
Ryan Anderson, it was that was annoying because, and I felt uncomfortable with it at the time because the Rockets had been trying to trade for Ryan Anderson for like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they get this big wad of cash.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'll go spend it on that.
Yeah.
It was like if you grew up when you were a kid and your dream car was a Mazda Miata because you're an idiot. But then all of a sudden you're like, you're 26 years old, you get your first big raise, and you're like, ooh, a 93 Miata just came available. I'll pay whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. No negotiation.
I'll pay cash. Yeah. I'll give you an extra $500 just to be sure you don't sell it to somebody else before I get to the lot.
You know how long I've wanted this Miata?
I need this Miata now.
Yeah. I do wonder.
It's candy red. Woo!
I wonder. that was the color for the Miata back in the day. I do wonder how Jabari Smith Jr. feels. Like it's almost in some ways maybe a curse of being on a team that's gotten really good really fast. Is that like, man? If I got drafted by a team where I'm not a role player, where maybe they just had to give me 35 minutes a night because they got nobody else on the team. You know, he got drafted onto a team that had a bunch of young guys on it. So he was, and he settled into being a role player. Like if he went on a team where he put up bigger numbers because he got more minutes and he got more shots, and all of a sudden you got to make a decision on him. And there's a lot of stupid teams that'll max a guy just because they're averaging 20 points a game. If he would have gotten more money. I don't know that he thinks about that. I thought about that on his behalf when he got the when I saw these two deals that went ahead of him.
By the way, Banchero's deal was announced on like Monday or something. Mm-hmm. So you weren't late to it. That's why I was a little,
Oh, no, I tweeted about it on Monday when it came out, and then I tweeted about Chet Holmgren again yesterday. No,
right. But you would ask, you're like, I don't know when this deal happened.
I was talking about Jabari Smith's deal when I said that.
Misheard you. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I was talking about Jabari's deal when I said that. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's do some headlines. The Astros, they lose last night. we need to recite Matt Kawahara's line that you cited in Twitter at the beginning of the article. That was good stuff. They lost the game. I want to read that line when it comes to Jake Meyers' injury. We got another Astro going to the All-Star game. We got a former Astro that's back in American baseball and a whole lot more that we will get to in headlines. We'll do that coming up next.